Welcome to the Karen Acres podcast. You can find out more about Karen over at www.karenacres.co.uk. Richard here, Money Trainers. I am here with Karen, and she's going to introduce herself, and we're going to be talking about some really interesting things today. We're going to be talking about cremation, dying, impact on families, and the gap for when people finally emigrate to heaven. So, Karen, introduce yourself.
Good morning. My name is Karen Acres. I am also known as Reverend Karen Acres. I am an ordained minister, so I do take quite a lot of services that are religious. I also will offer families the opportunity not to have a religious service, so my capacity also comes as a celebrant. So it's a job I love, it's a passion, it's a vocation, helping families in their time of need.
Thanks for that. We're going to talk about Jude.
We are.
We both want to talk about Jude.
I just want to talk about Jude.
And we're going to make that fit in with this whole issue of direct cremation, so how that works. So, didn't say at the outset, but I think it's quite important that, from my point of view, I run these Dying to Know events, which we talk about planning for the our own end of life. Karen's specialist area, because of what she does, is this whole area of her whole area of cremations and direct cremations and the problems with them. So let's talk about Jude.
So our friend, mutual friend Jude, which is how I met Richard, I met Jude 20 years ago, and we became close friends. And then sadly Jude was diagnosed with cancer. And she made all of her plans, all of her wishes known. She got all of her paperwork in place. And then suddenly she hit me with the concept that she wanted a direct cremation. And I was really shocked about that, because Jude has a lot of friends. She has a lot of people who love her. And I was thinking about the impact that would have on those left behind. And so I mulled it over, and I came away from that meeting with Jude. We'd met somewhere. And I went back to her and I said, do you understand the impact that this will have on those around you? And her answer was very simple, that she really wanted not to create a fuss, that she wanted everything to be paid for, everything to be done, that her loved ones didn't have to worry about organising anything, that she would just simply sign a piece of paper, and that she would be looked after she passed away, and that her ashes would be returned to us at some point of what we didn't know. So I sat down and had a really long conversation with her about the actual reality to that and what that actually meant, and did she understand what that meant. And actually, for Jude, who was very intelligent, highly intelligent, she had not understood the actual concept.
Hadn't thought it through, had she at all?
Never thought it through. So I told her the reality. I told her that, you know, we would all struggle with that, and that there were many ways that we could have a service for her, that we could also celebrate her life, that she could have those that were closest to her in a short, very short service at the crematorium. And that's exactly what we did.
And that was a great service. I was there with that. But I also delivered a eulogy where she was talking very specifically about she was attending a funeral and looked around at the people to say, well, actually, this isn't just about her body. This is about the whole grieving process. So, direct cremations. Come on, tell me what the deal is.
Okay, so I think that people have misunderstood direct cremations for a long time. I think that's probably due to a lot of advertising on mainstream, you know, TV. They see adverts coming up and they don't really understand them. They just think that what they're doing is the right thing by their families. Their belief is that I'm not going to put this burden on my family. I'm going to pay for my service and I will be taken care of, and my ashes will be delivered back to my family to do whatever they wish The reality is that you don't have to do any of that, because what you can do is you can go into any of your local funeral directors and you can say, my loved one has requested a direct cremation. They then come to your local crematorium. It doesn't have to be a crematorium that you have no understanding or idea geographically where that even is, at a time, at a place, a venue, that and a date that you know. The ones that you see advertise, they do not give you any of that. So you have no date as to when your loved one is going to be cremated. If you go locally to your funeral home, you will have that date, that time, that venue. And so then you have a sense of knowing, which is really, really, really important that you do know that. So I have sadly had lots of families that have gone down the route of these cremations where they don't know where their loved ones have been cremated. And they've come to me and said, I don't know if my loved one has even been cremated. And this is 3, 4, 5 weeks afterwards. And I was really shocked by that. So there is a reality check with all of this that, and questions that you need to know. So I know that if I was to go into one of my local funeral directors and say, my loved one wants a direct cremation and we'd like it next Friday, they would phone up the crematorium and say, can you fit, do you have a space for this? Absolutely. And so then you know. Then families will often go on to have a memorial hall, a restaurant, a cafe, even sometimes the garden centre, just a gathering of people together. And sometimes people don't have any of that. So I understand that when people don't have family, because I've done a lot of services where there has been nobody present, and that's taken place by social services, the council, that we are asked to do those services because there are no next of kin, and I understand those. However, I think that everyone has the right to go out of this world knowing that they are loved, they are cared for, and even if there is only myself and the funeral director present, that someone is there to acknowledge their going from this world.
You see, that's interesting, because that's the bit that, and this whole death thing is an emotional thing, and what families are trying to do is to make a decision, or the deceased is trying to do, is make a decision based on price. Or funerals are so expensive, and they are, therefore a direct cremation solves the problem. It deals with the body, but it doesn't deal with the important people, which is the people that are left, the closure bit. And I think that's quite interesting that this is what the number of what we're talking about. So your advice is to say, yeah, we can do a direct cremation. You don't have to go and buy it online or one of the firms that are advertising on random TV channels. You can have a conversation with your local funeral director. You can have a conversation with your local celebrant, plug there for Karen, and make a different plan, one that suits the deceased and with their wishes, but also to get your closure, and whether that be a small service or a bigger service. But you can actually do two things rather than having this random box of ashes, because effectively if you go to and the direct cremation company is going to be spitting bullets about this is a bulk service. They you get a box of ashes back, not necessarily the ashes of of your family member, which are you on one hand, you suppose a funeral director has just been given 20 years for not dealing with the bodies professionally. So we have that on one side, and then the other side we have direct cremation people, which can't really guarantee your loved ones coming back in the box they come back in because of the way they operate. That might be a bit of a slur. That's not meant to be a slur on them, but this is the process that they're applying. And so, yeah, and I think it's interesting that they think about that. So talk to me about the family impact. So from my point of view, and we look at it from Jude's point of view, because I think that's quite important, we started out with that. So she thought it was really quite simple for the body just to be taken away and it come back, and then people could have a few beers, you know, people could have a couple of sandwiches. Mm. And then when she really thought about that, the process is really quite important. So let's talk about the family impact on on not having a service, on not having a direct cremation.
So I just want to backtrack just slightly, because there is a complete reality check in all of this, Richard, in that what families do not realise, it's just been advertised, it's not a secret. So one of those companies have just made an application to turn a big industrial unit to hold 700 deceased.
Wow.
700. It's on the news, it's in, you know, wherever.
It's like factory farming for cremations.
Factory farming for cremations. So we have to get this right, I'm not there to slur anybody, but 700 deceased. And so what happens, and we remember this, is they're not going to be cremated next week or the week after. They have to take their turn, you see. So you imagine having 700, and that's what they're, you know, that's what they're turning over in effect, of, you know, in numbers of deceased, 700 people. So let's just, you know, look at that logically. And if you do the maths on that, and I don't want to go into that here, how long cremation takes, to, you know, it can be 3 or 4 hours for each person to be cremated.
Yeah.
So there is a reality check in this. So one has to say, well, how many can they do in a day?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and the huge numbers of this is just mind-blowing. The other part for me is that there is no care of the deceased. And I think we need to remember that. In the care of the deceased, I mean that they will not be embalmed, they will not be cremated within a certain time. Decomposition will take place very quickly. Very quickly. So we kind of have to remember all of that. And so when I'm told, well, you know, I don't know if my loved one's being cremated or not. And I said, well, how long ago, you know, was they taken? 5 weeks ago. What, and you haven't had the ashes back?
That's mad, yeah.
And I can't, you know something, ethically, I can't come to terms with it in some way, because I understand the reality of that. If someone hasn't been embalmed, you know, what happens, the decomposition. So for me, it is about dignity. It is about, you know, the preservation of our own emotional, you know, sense of, for our loved ones, is like, well, where are they? Do you know? And then there was someone who said to me, oh, I was told they will deliver my loved one back to the door. And then I had a call to say,
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
It was DPD. I mean, I've just given a plug to DPD, but they use a courier firm
to
bring them back. So they thought, because on the advert it says, And the nice man even came in for a cup of tea when he bought the ashes back.
Well, because the perception is, of course, you're getting your loved one, your husband or your partner's or your child's ashes back, delivered in some sort of formal funeral type arrangement. And what's happened is they're coming back in a box with a DPD or every drive. It's like, well, is that your eBay delivery, sweetheart? No, it's
my loved one's,
it's
ashes.
Joe's ashes, yeah. And so, yeah, no, that, I think that's a...
But for me, when they're saying that in the, you know, in their advertising, oh yes, the nice man even come in. Well, I don't know if you invite your DPD man or your every man or your Amazon man in for a cup of tea, but I don't. So, you know, I think we have to get this in our minds about what we are signing up for. So I explained this to our friend Jude, and I said to Jude, look, do you know this? This is the reality. She was completely shocked. She had no...
Just didn't understand what...
She didn't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so what I want to do is I want to educate people. I want to say to them, look, if you are trying to manage funeral costs, we did it with Jude. You and I did
absolutely.
We did this financially together in that we knew how much the budget was. We knew how much we had. And so, you know, we went to a funeral director that we trusted, that we knew, and we said, this is what we've got, and please tell us what we can have.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I can tell you all now exactly what we had. We had a service at the crematorium where six of us attended, which they call a short attended service, which is 15 minutes. And that's so much cheaper than doing a whole service. Half an hour.
But there's just, but on that point, that Karen, it's really interesting, because if you walk into a funeral director's, that's not the way you have the conversation. Firstly, because it's all wrapped up with emotional, bloody hell, I'm burying Bob or Pauline or whatever it is. And so you go to the undertakers and you say, well, okay, what's the deal? And the undertaker says, well, you can have this, you can have that, you can have that. Gives you the menu of stuff and you decide the options. But what happened with Jude was we said, we've got this amount of money, what can you do for us? And that's exactly what he facilitated, as you said, with a shortened service and, you know, with a small attendance, and so the creme costs or the funeral costs were reduced. So, but that's I think that's really important what you're saying there, is people are saying, well, we have a direct cremation on one side because funerals are really expensive. But actually, if you go to a funeral director and say, this is what we've got, they will facilitate it if they can, and that's, you know.
And they will. And do you know, I have so many families, and, you know, this is what I do, and I talk to my families, because I want to make sure they're okay, that they're okay, you know, emotionally, financially, that they're not getting themselves into a real financial pickle with all of this. Because, you know, I've had people say, you know, oh, what we'd like is we'd like a horse-drawn carriage with four white horses and a Cinderella carriage. Seriously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I've sat there and thought, do I tell them now or later that this is going to cost them like £2,000 on top of the funeral? Obviously, burials are more expensive than cremation. But if you walk in to your local funeral director and you say, this is how much money I've got, and this is all I've got, please can you help me? I will absolutely know from my heart to anyone who's listening to this podcast that they will help you. Because they're not going to sell you four white horses with a Cinderella carriage. They're not going to sell you this massive, you know, solid oak casket that's not required. They're not going to do any of that. What they're going to do is sit with you and say, we understand this. Let's do what, you know we can do. We can have a 9 o'clock service at the crematorium for 15 minutes, just a short attended. You don't have to have a celebrant. You don't have to have a minister if you don't want to. We can play some music. And also, I think what some people have really forgotten is that some of the funeral directors actually have their own chapels. So we we did this with Jude. Is that the funeral director had a small chapel, and so we said, well, can we use the chapel? And it was a really reasonable cost. It was nothing. It was literally nothing. And then we went off. We did some catering, and that was the most expensive part, if I'm honest. So I think you have to really understand the cost of this. That the cost is actually exactly the same if you went and got this off the TV as if you went to a funeral director.
Absolutely. And so this is the thing that was kind of blew me away, because I was expecting a £7,000 or £8,000 bill, and where there, because there was nowhere near that. It's just interesting, because what everyone's comparing is the direct cremation versus the full service, and actually there is this middle ground, and this middle ground does several things. It allows you to manage the costs, and as you say, very often a lot of families are under stress financially. You know, someone's just died, lots of things are going, lots of moving parts. And the other thing is about the closure.
Yeah.
Because and having some sort of formal celebration, or, you know, Auntie Pauline's funeral or Joe the husband's funeral, in that you all get together for your final goodbyes, and that's where you are. That's your role, is to be able to, you know, facilitate that.
Absolutely. And what you also have to remember as well is that with something like the ones that have been advertised, the direct cremations that have been advertised, there is also a cost that will be incurred if you then decide to go and scatter the ashes of your loved one in one of the crematoriums, or so that they will charge you. If you come to the crematorium via your funeral director and it's a local crematorium, they do that for nothing. So it's free of charge to go and scatter. If you want to inter and you want to have a plot that is only yours, then obviously there's a cost involved in that. But do you know, I think we all are coming to a place now where we know that unless the funeral has already been paid for, most people are not going to be able to just suddenly come out of the air with £7,000 or £8,000. They just can't do it. So many people will come and ask me, and you know, I'm not here for anybody. I'm here just for those families. Yeah. I'm not here to sell anything. I don't want to promote anybody. What I want to do is help families who are in a really hard place at that time. They're filled with grief. They're filled with guilt. There isn't enough money. They are filled with, you know, the emotion of trying to deal with family dynamics and, you know, does that person want to be buried? Does that person want to be cremated? Because that all comes into the mix as well. Because obviously burial is so much more expensive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely expensive. So sometimes what I have to say to families when I speak to them is, do you know what? You just need to compromise with all of this. You need to come to a compromise with yourself that you're not shortchanging your loved one in any way, shape or form. I think just a short service. You can do this and it's cost effective and then you can go on. So I want to share with you that I've done services in many places.
Yeah.
I've done services with someone's loved one in their casket in a village hall, in a social club.
Yeah.
I've done them in golf clubs. I have done them in wedding venues, in barns. So we've taken the deceased, the hearse comes, we take the deceased up to that barn and wherever. And there's services that have taken place there. What you've got to remember is that they will then often go with the funeral director for a direct cremation. There won't be another service.
I think this is the key, but the perception is, of course, going back to what I said earlier, we've got direct cremation or full-blown funeral direct control service. Actually, the reality of this is we can mix and match. We can say, look, we can still have a direct cremation, but we get some closure, which means we can have a knees up, you know, in a wedding venue or a community hall one. So that's really interesting. But this is the thing about having a conversation with you and having a conversation with the funeral director just to join the dots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but also within a budget.
Within a budget,
and so this is the, and so we get the formal and the informal arrangements merged together. The deceased gets what they want. What they want is a direct cremation,
mm-hmm.
But you can get that managed so you know the time and you know you're getting back a box which has got their bits in it rather than anybody else's.
Absolutely.
No, that's interesting. Okay.
So the other point I think we need to also make is about church services as well, because what often happens is there'll be a service in church and then they will come here just for what we call committal only.
Yeah.
And often the priest, the minister, myself, whoever, will just come here just to say the final prayer of committal. So there is very little cost to that. That's almost like a direct cremation because we're not bringing the congregation back with us.
Yeah, yeah.
They will go on somewhere else. So the other thing is, and it's really interesting, I want to share with you, is that I've had so many families say to me, do you know, Carrie, the hardest part of this is the wake, whatever you want to call it afterwards, and how much that costs. And I said, so, because I mean, I had no clue what it cost until you told me for Jude's. It can be, so I've had families pay anything from £14 per head right up until £22.
£16.99.
We paid £16.99 for Jude's, But you know, and so 14 to sort of 22 is the range. And you know, my experience, because I don't ever go back afterwards. I mean, I did with Jude's, obviously, but I don't ever go back with families afterwards. But often they're disappointed, you know, because there's a few curly sandwiches, you know, a few sausage rolls and a bit of pork pie or whatever. And you know, for me, I'm thinking, I look at this kind of wake whole thing and I'm thinking, what does it serve? It serves for people to come together, to be together, to sit down. What do people want? And actually, they want something they can put on a plate, sit with a cup of tea or coffee, and just have a chat about the old times and people meet up with each other. Do we need to really feed people, you know, curly sandwiches and sausage rolls and quiche? No, we don't. So I've had many families...
Egg and crisps for me.
Egg and crisps for you. So I've had many families and I've gone to see them and they don't have enough people for a week. So we have to remember this. So some people don't have... You know, I've done services for children of only children and they have no children. So there's no grandchildren, no nieces, no nephews. You know, really small. And so maybe there's only 10 of them. And all of the local, you know, places where I am here, they don't cater for that. So what do you do with 10 people? Do you invite them back to your house? Do you know where people then, I say to people, be creative. Go to the garden centre. Have a little cream tea for 10 of you. Do you know what I mean? Do that. It doesn't have to be that formal. It's just getting people together. And, you know, the latest one is, I say to people, why don't you do a selection of cake? You know, just get someone to make cakes. Bring a cake with you. Join together. Find somewhere. Go to the pub. Go wherever. If you go and talk to a lot of these places, they will let you do that. They don't care if you take a cake in. Do you know what? They're really kind.
Yeah.
I mean, my experience here, where I am, they are so kind. And they will say to... I've been up there. I've been to a number of venues. And I said, look, we're in a really difficult position. There's only 10 mourners. And we are having a little service. And they said, Karen, there's no problem. They can come down. You know, what was that lady's favourite cake? Oh, she loved lemon drizzle. Loved a bit of fruit cake. Well, we'll make... Do you know that was...
lemon drizzle.
I know. So they make lemon drizzle and fruit cake for me, for them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thinking, how lovely. So I think that we get caught up with an expectation of what we think and what other people think we should be doing. So I get people saying, well, it's traditional. We need those big flowers on the top, you know, the coffin flowers. Why do you need to spend £200 on flowers that are going to sit outside then? Well, what should we do? So, I mean...
But that is that's tradition. That's what drives it. Because that's what Nan had. That's what, you know, Auntie Pauline had.
And what did we do for Jews?
Well, yeah, exactly that. Yeah, we had very simple bloody sunflowers. So that would work perfectly. Yeah, absolutely.
And
so,
we sprinkled a few rose petals on the doesn't
have to be complicated.
And it doesn't have to be. And I say to, when I go and see families, they say to me, oh, Karen, we really haven't got the money for flowers. And I say to them, well, why do you think you need flowers, you know? Well, and then I had a family last week. It was really lovely, actually. They went and picked roses from the lady's gardener who'd passed away.
That sort of thing would make sense to me. But there's going to be a lot of florists here that are going to be kicking off saying, ah, dare you, you know, that's where the bulk of their income comes from. But this is about being creative, if you like, and sort of saying, well, okay, what is tradition? Well, tradition is whatever you make it. But this whole thing about tradition is exactly what you make it. And so, the flower things, you've got, you know, are you really going to spend 200 quid for flowers? The warm weather we've had, they're wilted by the time the service is finished anyway. So, okay,
so,
right.
So I tell people to go to the supermarket. I tell them to buy, you know, some favourite roses, whatever they're going to buy. And you know what? One of the best services I ever done was where they bought everybody a potted plant from the garden centre and they placed them all around the casket and then they asked everyone afterwards
to go and take a plant and plant in that.
So
that's it. That's interesting stuff. That's because now you've got the answers. You can go to Tesco's.
You can pick
up your flowers. No, but this is about perception and people thinking. And so in the next podcast we're going to cover some more of that, because Karen, we're going to talk to Karen about not direct cremation but the whole sort of the options you've got and how a funeral celebrant really works, or particularly how Karen works. So I'm going to wrap this up now, because we've run on and on and on, cover some really interesting stuff. We've spoken about direct cremations. Karen, how can we find out more about you?
You can find out more about me on my website. Just look me up, Karen Akers.
www.karenakers.co.uk.
I can't remember my website.
That will find you, and you can fire off an email there. Her reviews are also available online, just to do a quick Google search. My name is Richard Smith. I'm one part of Money Trainers. You can find out more about me over at Money Trainers. I hope you found this interesting, and there's going to be more to come.